This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3896, from Monday, the 10th of July, 2023. Today's show is entitled, The Brocks of Glenelg. It is hosted by Andrew Conway, and is about 13 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, a verbal tour in situ of one of the two Brocks of Glenelg.
Andrew, also known as McNallu, and as you can hear, I'm not in my usual spot in my house. I am out in the wilds of Scotland, and I'm stood in a windy glen, that's a valley, to people who don't know the Scottish word glen, and I'm at a broch, and I thought this is something that may interest Hacker Public Radio people. So what is a broch? Well, this broch is called Dun Telv. And it says here on the sign that is right in front of me that brochs are highly impressive prehistoric buildings unique to Scotland and found mainly in the north and west of Scotland, dating from anywhere around 400 to 200 BC. And they were probably built to reflect the prestige of their inhabitants. And up to 500 sites have been identified as possible brochs. Now, to look at, think of a cooling tower or, you know, a chimney. It's sort of cylindrical but tapering as you go higher. It's quite high. Let's see, so I would say my son, who's over 6 foot, he's about 2 meters tall, he's currently stood at the bottom of it, and if you got him identical copies of him to stand on his shoulders, I think it would take maybe about 8 of him, so yeah, 8 times 2, that's 16 metres tall, and that's in its ruined state. One side of it is actually only about 3 metres, but the side nearest me is, yeah, I would say at least 16 metres, and originally I think probably it was 10 metres tall. So it's made up of dry stone, so it's uncemented stone that's held in place by its weight, and the tapered circular structure gives it great structural integrity, and it actually has two walls. It has an outer wall and an inner wall, and that creates a living space in between the walls where I think inhabitants may have slept, for example, and moved up and down through the levels, because it would be a multi-level structure. And there would be a central space where perhaps in winter months you might have brought livestock inside, maybe. The truth is, we don't really know an awful lot about brochs and exactly how they were used or why they were built, but it's felt that because they were so difficult to build and they're really not that efficient at housing people, you know, little huts would be far easier solution to just housing many people, that it must have been an early form of prestige dwelling, and potentially it could, it could defend you, but they're not that big, they're not as big as a castle, so you couldn't, if somebody laid siege to you, well, you wouldn't survive that long, because you wouldn't be able to store it that much inside, I don't think, and you wouldn't have access to running water. So in this case, Dun Telv, the rock I'm at, is actually very close to a river, but if you're besieged and trapped inside it, you wouldn't have any access to water, unless you happen to store it inside, which would be quite difficult back in a few hundred years BC. It's one of actually three brochs in this glen. There's this one, there's another one called Duntrodden, and then further up the glen is another broch I can't remember the name of, it's much more ruined and hardly anyone knows about. But the two brochs, the one I'm at, Dun Telv, another one, Duntrodden, are the two best preserved brochs on the mainland. There's more and some better examples on islands. There's one or two in Lewis Sky, and actually I've also seen one out on Orkney, one of the islands in Orkney. But these by far are the best ones on the mainland, and they're quite ruined. I'll put some pictures on the show notes. And the ruined state of them is almost certainly because they were plundered for stone. The stone that is built of would have been quite desirable if you wanted to build a more conventional dwelling, possibly actually in the last few hundred years. And indeed, there's a story that some barracks that was built in the 18th century, which is down the road in the village called Glen Elg. Glen Elg is the name of the village. It's also notable because it's a palindrome. It's spelt the same backwards as forwards, Glen Elg. Anyway, there were some barracks built there by the British Army, and it's quite, I think there's documentary evidence that stone was taken from the brochs and used to build those barracks. So I'll pause there and actually go into the broch and talk to you a bit more about the details that I see within. So I'm now stood just outside the broch, and it's quite impressive when you're this close to it. At my feet there's a modern stone with the letters VR carved into it. I assume that stands for Victoria Regina, who, as the brochs were first surveyed by archaeologists, or as they were probably known back then, antiquarians, during the reign of Queen Victoria. I'm not sure why they left these stones VR dotted about the brochs, but they did. Perhaps they were used for surveying it, I don't know. Why they get VR carved into them, I don't know either, but I think maybe people were more into monarchs back then than they are now. So if I approach the brochs, there's an entrance way. It juts out from the side of the broch, and the stones are huge. I mean, the stone in front of me, it's a single stone that's been placed there for the purpose as a gateway of some kind, and the stone is about 5 foot tall, so, oh gosh, what's that, 1.5 meters tall, something like that, and well, it's more or less a cube. It's slightly narrower in other dimensions than its height, and there's several of them. It isn't the only one. So the first thing you would conclude is that they went to great effort. Those stones could not have all been lying around, and they have, there's evidence by looking at them that they have been shaped in some way. They're not completely natural in shape. Most of the rest of the stones are just piled up, as I say, dry stone. And I'm walking through a doorway. I have to duck down because I'm 5'10", so well under 2 metres, but I have to duck down to avoid bashing my head on the door lintel, which is, again, a massive piece, single piece of stone. And as I enter, on my left is a wall. Above me is, well, I don't know what it is, but an upstairs gallery. Oh, and there's a human. There's a human on the broch that is known to me. But on the right is a passageway where I could, well, I don't know what this would be. Some little storeroom or a guard room or something. It looks like it was a room. It doesn't lead anywhere. And if I come back out of that, I can walk into the central area of the broch. And on my left is another door. So this is a circular opening. How big is it in diameter? Let me see. I'm trying to imagine how many of my sons lying down it would take to cover this diameter. I would say about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Let's say 14 metres. The internal diameter is 14 metres. And the two walls themselves are probably at least another 3 metres. So the internal diameter, 14 metres. The external, maybe 17 metres, something like that. And there's one doorway. There's two doorways leading off the main central courtyard of the broch. And this would have, it's believed, would have been covered. It would have been a covered courtyard. There would have been a roof high above me, really quite high above me. And the doorway I came through is one way out the courtyard, and there's another way that I've just gone through. Again, on one side, to the left, is a dead end, which could have formed a room, a storeroom, or maybe you could have kept animals in there, I don't know. And then to my right is the staircase. And this staircase is built between the two, the inner and the outer wall of the broch. It's quite narrow, but not difficult to ascend. You certainly would have to squeeze past somebody else. And if I come up, I come up onto the first level of the broch. Now, it's currently in a ruined state, so the staircase has been destroyed. It doesn't go any further up. Although it is possible to climb to the higher level. So I see 1, 2, 3 levels where you could, in principle, fit. And the higher level looks really small. maybe a child, maybe small children could live up there, an adult couldn't fit. So really there's the ground floor, the first floor, the second floor where adults could fit, and then the floors above that really look too small. But it does look like there was structures further up. So maybe there was internal floors and the internal circular space above the courtyard, what I called the courtyard. There might have been other floors. And because the Broch is somewhat ruined, you can see how it was built. And it tapers and gets narrower as you go up. And the gap between the walls gets narrower as well. It's a very pleasant place. I should describe the setting. I'm in a glen. The hills either side of me are... The hills on each side of the glen are at least, I would say, at least 300 to 500 metres. So we're talking, 1,500 feet high. So, and quite steep as well. I mean, I could walk up it, but you couldn't build a road up it, certainly. It's very steep on both sides. And it would be a very tiring walk indeed. And the Broch itself is surrounded by a few oak trees, which are quite impressive and give character to the place. I remember my first visit here, which was 1995, so getting on for 30 years ago, and it was raining heavily then. It's dry just now. It was raining earlier. It's a very pleasant evening. Quite a magical place, actually. I can almost see why humans would be drawn to live here. You feel quite sheltered between these hills. I feel quite safe here. You've got the river nearby to give you water. There's flat land here for grazing and maybe growing of crops. And then these steep walls of the glen either side. And if I look to the... Which way am I looking? I'm looking to the east. I'm looking along the glen. And the road which currently runs along it follows the path of an old drover's road where people took cattle from the Isle of Skye. And they would have moved inland through the highlands and then down maybe to the lowlands to go to markets to sell the cattle, and they would probably have to avoid cattle rustlers en route as well. And interestingly, before they had ferries or even a bridge to Skye, which the island of Skye, which they now do, these cattle herders would chain their cattle together or rope them together and get them to swim the short distance between the Isle of Skye and the mainland. The shortest distance is just near Glen Ilg and is probably, I don't know, how far is it? Maybe 100 metres? Not far. Still some, you have to choose your time carefully to get the currents right. So that's my little audio tour of a Broch. I hope you liked it. If you ever do come to Scotland, I'd recommend have a look to Glen Ilg. Most people go over to Skye. It gets very busy there. But do come to Glen Ilg. The pub, the Glen Ilg Inn, is very good. The Brochs are well worth seeing, as I've said. And just along from the Brochs, there's a little microbrewery and a place that sells pizzas and coffee. Now, come on, Hacker Public Radio people. Surely that is enough to make you want to come to this beautiful place. Okay. Well, that's McNallu signing out. If you like this, tell me about a special place that's near you and do a show of your own. Okay. Bye-bye.
Been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.